Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Emerson. And as was discussed on Blind Cool Tech yesterday, which was September the 17th, I thought I would submit a little bit of a discussion of what I did during my career of 28 years at IBM. And I hope this will be the start of a very interesting series of podcasts in which people will talk about their particular careers or their college life or their job possibilities or what they would love to do in the future if they had their way, or just all kinds of possibilities like that. For this submission, I am using a rather cheap microphone plugged into a USB port on my PC. I did order a DS2 Olympus from Amazon.com. They had it for about $109, not including the shipping. I thought that was a pretty good price since it was originally about $150. So I thought I'd grab it while I could get it. I don't know if a regular PC mic will work with that or not, but I decided to go ahead and order the thing anyway. But for now, I'm just going to be using this, and I think it'll sound all right. I started my career in 1977, although I suppose we could go back to college, in which I got a degree in 1974 in English, which has absolutely nothing to do with computers, obviously. And then in 1975, I went through the usual gamut of taking civil service tests to see what I would actually qualify for and would I really get to work within the government and all that kind of thing. And of course, I didn't. I never even got an application from any of the government agencies that I had. I think I'd applied for some of those, but I don't remember. But it did indicate to me that I had a high aptitude for computer work, which was rather surprising. The State Department of Rehabilitation had started a computer training project for people with disabilities of all types. And I believe the first year was in 1975, but I didn't know about the program until the end of that year. So I trained at Center for Independent Living in Berkeley, California, which was about 35 miles away from where I lived, and I commuted by train from my house. And it was a 9-month program, and it was the equivalent of getting an AA degree in computer science from a junior college. And during that program, I learned a number of mainframe computer languages and some of the basics of mainframe programming, business programming. And they sent a recruiter from IBM, or IBM sent a recruiter up to the center during some of our class sessions. I was not told about this, but there was one particular day when the teacher was asking me a lot of questions rather than other people in the class, and I wondered what is going on here. Turns out that was the day the IBM person was there. They decided to contact me after the program graduation, which was, I believe, at the end of October 1976. And then I went into IBM for the usual interviews, and at the time we had to take a DPAT test, which is a data processing aptitude test, and it was in Braille. So I did that, and apparently they were satisfied with the results. Also, during computer school, I obtained an Opticon, which, believe it or not, I am still using an Opticon for a lot of different things. I use it on the computer only if I'm in a situation where JAWS isn't coming up properly, or I need to debug something, or if I'm rebuilding my XP system from the ground up for any reason. I've not had to do that very much, thankfully, but anyway, the Opticon was the main selling point for me to become employed, because at that time it was practically the only portable way for a blind person to read a computer screen directly, and we were using CRTs at the time, the PC, IBM PC, and its offspring, I guess you would call it, had not been invented yet, because this was the end of 1976. So I was hired on in 1977. IBM purchased a Perkins Brailler for me, which they gave me when I retired, and eventually they did buy me an Opticon, which they also gave me. And I think we got an APH four-track recorder player. At the time it was only a two-track recorder though, so I used that and wore it out, definitely. I think I still have the microphone that came with it, and I think the mic still works, believe it or not. 30-year-old microphone, it still works. one of the accommodations that IBM did for me was to construct a table that enabled a CRT screen to be positioned not like a TV screen as it is normally, but as if you were reading a book on your lap. So the screen was flat, and therefore I could read the screen with the Opticon as if I were reading a flat piece of paper. And I used the Opticon with a CRT screen and eventually with a PC screen for probably the first 15 years of my career, and then I obtained a navigator from Telesensory, and that was the first of three Braille displays. I decided to purchase my own Braille displays because I thought if I ever leave the company, I want to be sure to keep my equipment. At the time, I didn't realize they would let me keep my equipment when I left. But I used a navigator Braille display for probably about 7 or 8 years, and then I got a Power Braille 40, and now I have a PacMate portable display, which I just love. I now have two of them. I have one at home here, which has always been hooked up to the PC, and then I have the other one, which IBM let me keep, and I use that with a PacMate. And I guess that's enough about equipment. I prefer Braille or tactile as far as reading for work-related things that I need to do. During my last 10 years, my career was in mainframe system support, and I was on the phone a lot with a headset, and I didn't have the ability to hear the speech and the phone at the same time. So Braille was essential for that. As far as what I did for IBM, I started out as a programmer working in product development. I wrote some code and some command code for some of the products that IBM was creating at the time. Some of those products are still around and some aren't. Did that for about 10 or 11 years, and then I decided it was time to make a change, and I became IBM's first blind technical writer, or maybe nearly the first. I don't know if there was any other technical writer at the time within the company, but I was certainly one that people came to for help as far as setting up as a technical writer. At the time, there was no challenge as far as doing technical writing. We did everything on the mainframes, and the system that we used was VM, which stands for Virtual Machine. It is also the operating system that I helped to support in my job as a system support person. The technical writing involved learning a text processing program which is similar in its design to HTML, but it was called Bookmaster, and it was kind of a derivation of a number of different things, Script 370 and oh, I don't know what else. But you had to learn this markup language to be able to format your books. The books that I wrote involved some of the code that I used to write, which was kind of interesting, and then I went on to write a couple of other books for a couple of other products. One might still be around, the other one isn't, but they were all based on mainframe database products for MVS, which is another mainframe operating system. So I was a technical writer until they decided to go digital and go GUI interface. And when I started using the PC in 1991, I started using it with DOS. I was not one to move over to the OS 2 platform because I just had a job to do and I didn't really have the time to learn a lot of new stuff. In 1994, I decided to get out of technical writing because, as I said, they were going GUI and I didn't have the ability to do that at the time. So didn't really have the time to learn it. And so I decided to go into mainframe system support, and they needed somebody with my background in programming. So I went ahead and did that, and I ended up being in charge of storage management for our mainframe VM systems. We had 13 different VM systems at the lab where I worked, and this was a program product development lab. So it was quite unique. It used a lot of these mainframe systems to run different test environments and different development environments from within the mainframe operating system itself. So you could run VM inside of VM, you could run MVS inside of VM, and in the last few years they had been running Linux inside of VM, which is kind of interesting. So I was responsible during my last 10 years of my career for setting up disk storage and user IDs for these massive test machines that just required terabytes of storage so that these people could build models of their products and actually run the tests on these machines that were actually running under MVS, which were actually running under VM. So it was quite interesting. I was also responsible for some of the security that was involved, such as who could access which information, who had access to which user IDs on these systems, and all kinds of things like that. It was great. But I decided to retire at the end of July because I felt that there was a great deal of bureaucracy occurring within the division within IBM in which I worked. I felt that the bureaucracy was beginning to override our jobs. I also saw a lot of layoffs occurring, and when the people got laid off, the work was still there to do, and all the people who had their plates full of work were getting even more piled on them, and they were also getting a lot more overtime. I suppose this is the way a lot of companies are going these days. And if I had been able to avoid the bureaucracy, I would still be working. However, I could just see it overwhelming everything that we were doing, and I was getting very, very burned out with that. So I decided that now is the time to get out. And things were changing at such a pace that I figured if I waited any longer to get out, then they may start taking away some of our retirement plans and benefits and such. So I ended up in a pre-retirement leave, which means that I'm not earning a salary. I'm living on savings. I have benefits because I am technically still employed. And I think it's the best thing I ever did. It's quite an adjustment because I have to realize that I don't have to do everything immediately. I can just wait until mañana to do certain things that I want to do. The biggest plus to this is that I do have my freedom. If I want to stay up late until 2 in the morning reading a good science fiction novel, I can do that. If I want to sleep late until about 10 in the morning, I can do that too. I just really appreciate that very much, and the lack of stress is definitely another plus. It is quite an adjustment because I don't have the contacts with people that I had when I was at work, and right now I don't know a lot of people in my neighborhood, but I do make a point of being out every day doing something. I use a cane, and I'm not as mobile around here as probably some people are in their environments, because the streets here are these big 8-lane streets, and since I have a hearing problem, I don't dare try to cross those things because I cannot tell where sound is coming from at all. And it's scary. I don't want to take any more risks. I'd like to live a lot longer, So anyway, I do get around the neighborhood to the extent that I need to. My apartment complex is quite large. In fact, we are installing an exercise room, which I'm really excited about. They're going to have a bike in there and a treadmill, and I don't know what else. But I just think that's really exciting. So in addition to taking my walks, I can go work out on the bike a couple of times a week. So retirement is really an adjustment. Just the freedom and the ability to do what I want when I want, and to not have all that stress over me, I think it's one of the best things. And taking early morning walks without having to go to the bus and get on there and go to work is a real plus, because there's something about walking in the morning, that fresh, cool air. I usually just walk a couple of blocks, but that's enough for me. I'm not one of these 2 mile walkers like Larry is. More power to you, Larry, for doing that. You can probably get up a pretty good speed with Jake there, but I figure I go at a fast enough clip for me with the cane, so I'm perfectly happy with that. But, whatever floats your boat. So that's the deal with the career, and I hope that if you have any questions, you can email me at Mary Emerson, that's MaryEmerson at SBC Global, that's SBCGlobal.net, and I'll certainly be looking forward to hearing from you. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you had mentioned as far as, I think I covered accommodations. Let me look on my braille light here real quick. The challenges and accommodations, a typical day, we were pretty unstructured as far as typical days went. I would just go into the office, and we were on flex time, so I just got in there usually somewhere between 7:30 and 8 in the morning and left at 4. I was one who always brought my lunch to work, so I'd sit there and eat while I was at my desk pounding away on the keys or talking on the phone. And it was fairly unstructured, but there was always something coming in that needed doing, or phone calls that we had, or our departments were spread clear across the country, especially the last 10 years that I was there. So our department meetings were conference calls, and we had and continue to have a lot of programs that are difficult to use for blind people, one of them being Lotus Notes. And when I left, we were working on some JAWS scripts for Lotus Same Time Connect, which was our instant messaging program. So I don't know how that went, but I was doing some testing of some JAWS scripts for that and trying to get some of the bugs out of it. Somebody else is writing the scripts, and I was the one trying to use them. And IBM kept throwing some programs at us that were difficult for us to use or impossible. And they were trying to figure out some ways around that would satisfy the company's security policies. So there are all kinds of challenges like that, but it was a good company to work for, and a bit challenging though, because near the end they were really cracking down on the layoffs and doing a lot of that, which I was really sorry to see. So anyway, that's enough about me. I'd love to hear about other people and what they're doing and what they're planning on doing, and all of that. I'm sure this would be just a great way to make Blind Cool Tech even more fun than it is. So thanks a lot for listening. I hope this comes out all right, and I'm going to pause for a couple of seconds before I sign off here, because recall, Pro tends to cut people off if you don't do that. So thanks, and bye for now.